It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff and Gina are here. We're going to talk about the latest from Google, including an amazing new addition to Google Docs you're just going to love. And I will make a shocking confession. It's all next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 240, recorded March 12th, 2014. Let's troll Prince. This Week in Google is brought to you by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 270,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/twig to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 30 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG314. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have your entire financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/twig. It's time for Twig This Week in Google. I added a couple of oohs in there. The show where we cover not just Google, but the cloud, the Twitter, the Facebook, all of that stuff. The South By. From her basement, her mother's basement, as all good bloggers do, Gina Trapani.
Nice PJs, Gina.
Hello. Oh, you know, I actually do have pajama bottoms on. This is a legitimate shirt, but I actually do have pajama bottoms on because, you know, that's what you do when you're only
that's the top half is only on.
I work from home today. Okay,
that's
look,
awesome.
I'm just embracing the stereotype
Are they, I gotta know, are they Mickey Mouse pajama bottoms? Or are they?
No, they're just straight up plaid. They're pretty.
Ooh, pretty, yeah.
They're delicious.
I can't believe I told you guys this. The whole point was that they were off camera.
That you couldn't see them. There's something about people who aren't wearing pants. They feel compelled to tell the world. I don't know what it is.
No. To be clear, I am wearing pants. They're just pajama pants.
Just so there's no
confusion here about that.
Gina is in charge of Think Up. ThinkUp.com. She's also the author of To Do Text and a regular host on All About Android every Tuesday right here on this network.
Yeah.
At 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for being here, Gina. Jeff
Great
Jarvis,
to be here.
Professor of Journalism at City University of New York.
I'm wearing pants.
He is wearing pants. He's also the author of What Would Google Do in His Latest Public Parts and blogs at BuzzMachine.com. 25 years old today. Well, you know, I think that's miscounting because it was the twinkle in Tim Berners-Lee's eye on March 12th, 25 years ago. It took him another year before the World Wide Web existed.
And it was not until October 1994 that the commercial browser was released.
Right.
But still, let's give Sir Tim his birthday greetings.
The 25th, by the way, if you go to google.com, you'll see a little birthday cake with the numbers 25. I thought that was because Josh Windisch was born today, but actually it's happy 25th birthday, World Wide Web. And it links to a guest post on the Google blog by Sir Tim Berners-Lee. He distributed a proposal, and this is the original proposal, information management. This, my friends, is a diagram describing the World Wide Web. Okay, now you know what happened. This led to a bunch of people in their jammies in their mother's basement making a living.
When I first saw that, I thought, to think what amazing things can happen from a sketch. But that's actually a computer-generated flowchart. Like, that actually, he put some work into that at the time.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, that was a pretty avant-garde,
And it isn't exactly what the web became. He says this proposal concerns the management of general information about accelerators. He's at CERN at the time in Geneva, which is the nuclear particle accelerator, and experiments at CERN. It discusses the problems of loss of information about complex evolving systems and derives a solution based on a distributed hypertext system. So the concept of hypertext is not new. In fact, it was first described by Ted. What's his name?
Memex guy.
Chat room.
Ted Nelson. Thank you. Ted Nelson. I think he was the first to describe hypertext. So clearly from this memo that Tim Berners-Lee put out, that was a term that meant some sense to somebody. The idea of a linked information system.
Did he call it the World Wide Web here?
Yeah, he said he used the word web.
The
actual observed working structure of the organization is a multiply connected web. He put that in quotes, whose interconnections evolve with time. It wasn't the World Wide Web until later.
We're going to talk about this in a second, but in his AMA today, Sir Tim said that when asked whether there are other names for the web, he listed three: mine of information, the information mine, and the mesh. But he decided web was best.
I think web's good.
I think it's good.
And web led to a lot of analogies like spidering the web as you crawl the web. So I love Reddit Ask Me Anythings because they surface the best questions because they get upvoted. The number one question, what was one of the things you never thought the internet would be used for, but actually has become one of the main reasons people use the internet? Sir Tim Berners-Lee says kittens.
Isn't that the best?
There are a couple possibilities for that response. I like that he chose kittens.
Kittens.
Was asked if he'd put up a picture of his cat, and he said, cat no, dog yes.
Huh? Do you think
he's a dog guy?
In the not too distant future, we'll look back and think ourselves lucky to have witnessed a neutral, free, and uncensored World Wide Web. He responds, I think it's up to us. I'm not guessing. I'm hoping. Yes, I can imagine all too easily. If ordinary web users are not sufficiently aware of threats and get involved, and if necessary, take to the streets, like for SOPA and PIPA and ACTA. On balance, I'm optimistic. But he's right. It's up to us to preserve the free and open internet.
Amen.
Tim is an amazing fella. Very unassuming. He got knighted for this, but he doesn't act as if, oh yeah, I invented it. Which web browser do you use? Don't know, says Java Beans, but his GitHub account says he commits to some Firefox plugins. so that's pretty impressive. He's a Firefox committer. And then M. Soral says, dude, it's Tim Berners-Lee. He doesn't need a browser. He doesn't even need a computer. He just puffs the end of an Ethernet cable like a hookah.
Now that's something that needs to be Photoshopped.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see him sitting on a mushroom. Edward Snowden, hero or villain? Tim writes, because he had no other alternative, engaged as a journalist, with a journalist to be careful of how he was released and provide an important net overall benefit to the world. I think he should be protected, and we should have ways of protecting people like him, because we can try to design perfect systems of government and they will never be perfect. And when they fail, then the whistleblower may be all that saves society. Right on.
Excellent answer. Excellent answer.
Wow. Yeah.
Which Glenn Greenwald immediately retweeted.
Good. Mm-hmm. So Tim Berners-Lee, deserves the honor. Today's the day his eye twinkled, but the World Wide Web was born actually more than a year later after he first wrote about it. And we're all celebrating.
He was asked whether the 404 came from the fact that he was in room 404 when he did this. And he just said, no, that's nonsense.
Well, where did those error numbers come from?
Yeah. I don't know.
He probably didn't write those. Probably the folks who did Apache, I would guess, wrote those error messages, right?
Well, it's the HTTP spec, right? So
Oh, is it the spec? Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the HTTP protocol spec, all those error numbers, 401, 50, you know, 500, 404, et cetera, 503. And those are all just part of the protocol. I'm sure that a lot of people at Apache were probably involved, but it was probably a different standards organization that defined
that. The IETF or the W3C, which Tim now works at, the World Wide Web Consortium, I believe. Does he not?
Mm-hmm.
And MIT.
And MIT? Really? What's he do over there?
He teaches.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, in fact, I'm working with a company called Infinite Analytics that came out of his class.
Wow, that's neat.
It is neat.
He did write the first HTTP server. That's right. So he had to in order on a next cube.
On a next,
might add. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the next was kind of designed to make it easy to write scientific software and other software. So. I'm looking at all of the Summer of Code open for application. I'm looking at all our stories. It's the 10th Summer of Code. You've been involved in the Summer of Code, Gina. Tell us about it.
I have, and I'm really excited. ThinkUp got accepted as a mentoring organization this year.
Yay.
This is a Google Summer of Code, which is their 10th year. This is a program that Google runs to support open source projects. So what happens is open source organizations like ThinkUp or like Firefox or Apache or WordPress, they all apply to be mentoring organizations. And then the ones that get accepted, then they open up an application project period for students who want to get experience contributing to open source, but who also can earn a stipend from Google. So students apply, and then they get paired up with mentors in the mentoring organization. So I'm going to mentor a student this summer, and we've done it two other summers. So I've mentored students in the past. And if the student passes, they propose a project, and if they get a passing grade from the mentor, the student earns, I think it's a $5,000 stipend for the summer. This is a summer job, basically working remotely, you know, on an open source project. So you get incredible experience, you make some money, the mentor gets a little stipend, I think it's like $500 or whatever. And Google organizes this and they fund this. And it, you know, it's an amazing program. And Google, I think, really kind of uses this program to recruit developers as well, because at least a couple of students who have been through GSOC, even through ThinkUp, have gone on to at least interviews at Google, if not jobs. And one of my students actually got a job at Facebook.
Wow.
After he graduated as well. So, yeah, it's a pretty prestigious thing. And in fact, ThinkUp's developer mailing list is just overrun with students right now, kind of clamoring to, you know, put in their project proposals and asking questions. So it's great for the organization. It's great for Google. It's great for students. I'm really excited about it.
Is it more, I mean, do you really get a lot out of it, or is it more a mitzvah to the world of the future?
I love it. I love mentoring new students. I mean, you know, one of my things is like, I really want to bring young people into contributing to open source. I feel like open source is still really hard to penetrate. I think that there's a certain kind of developer, you know, the neckbeard that kind of, you know, can find their way in. But I think there are a lot of young people who feel intimidated or don't know how to get in there. So when you get paired up with a mentor, you have some kind of holding your hand and showing you the ropes and working with you one-on-one. I think that's the thing that gets someone to do this kind of thing. That's how it happened for me. So I really love it because we ThinkUp gets often longtime contributors. You know, students stick around. We actually wound up hiring a student who we mentored last summer to do contract work for ThinkUp as we prepare to open up sign up. So it creates jobs, it creates relationships, it makes connections. And I really like helping students, particularly students who maybe wouldn't have gotten into open source on their own. Kind of non-usual suspects, particularly young women. For me, you know, just kind of like, because I like the idea of bringing more women into open source, because it's sorely needed. So it's great. Everybody gets something out of it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of hours, but it's totally worth it.
You obviously would need to be a computer science student or know how to code anyway, right?
You know, it depends on the on the project and on the, you know, on the project proposal. We try to make it as general as possible. You know, if you have an interest in learning how to code and you have a really great product idea, I mean, if you're a great designer, if you're a great copywriter, I mean, you could, you know, rewrite our documentation.
Oh. So it could be technical writing.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the contribution is, as long as it moves the project forward. And I really, you know, I've been trying, and we talked about this on the show, I've been trying to really get out of that developer only mindset. You know, I think that product development and technical development, you know, making technical products isn't just about writing code. I think it's also about writing copy and writing documentation and user experience and design. And I really want to encourage that as well. I don't think that, and a lot of these projects are extremely technical, but, you know, ThinkUp is a consumer product. It's very much user experience focused. I mean, the code certainly runs it, but I don't think that that's necessarily the
most. What are the skills that you need? Where are you having problems finding any skills? Just as an educator, I'm asking. So, you know, what do we train people to do?
You know, we tend to, this program in particular tends to attract students who are extremely technical and who are comp sci majors. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Right.
And, you know, with ThinkUp particularly, and I think this is true of most consumer products, you need somebody who can write and can code and has a very good sense of user experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's rare. That's rare to find that combination. And with ThinkUp particularly, I mean, ThinkUp is about social insight. So we're looking for people who blog, who tweet, who do Facebook, who use these social tools, have, you know, who are very experienced, who understand the different cultures of these different communities. I mean, we had a student build a YouTube plugin, for example, for us last summer, and I'm not that active on YouTube. I don't really know the culture of the comments in YouTube or what is liking versus
right.
favoriting versus sharing mean, right? So we're looking for someone who is really embedded in that community and who wants those insights and, you know, kind of wants to scratch their own itch.
So understanding that community is itself a skill.
Yeah. I mean, for us, definitely. I mean, for us,
yeah,
because we're about social insights, about cultures and communities, we do want people who understand those. But I think every product has different needs.
So the Summer of Code, go to google.com/GSOC, I guess.
Yeah,
or just Google Summer. Look, if you can't find it, you probably shouldn't apply.
Yeah, either, yeah.
Yeah, the student applications are open, I think, until like March 21st. So if you're looking for a summer job and you're a qualifying student and, you know, in a qualifying program, you should definitely apply.
And can you mentor in jammies, or is that not allowed?
All of my mentees have been in different countries.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I was often in my pajamas while I was mentoring.
But you can't get down with technology in your hand. That's what the purple one tells us. Prince.
It's emasculating,
technology.
Too. It's, I mean, you can't get down and you're emasculated.
Yeah.
My co-founder, Anil Dash, he's a huge Prince fan, and I shared this link with him earlier, and I said, cue the Jeff Jarvis, like, rant about how technophobes are, you know, destroying culture, and he was just like, oh, he's like, he's always been on this thing about, you know, not taking photos at shows and whatever, but I thought it was funny because, you know, it's Prince.
Prince does not like technology. Remember, he briefly sued his own fans for posting on YouTube. He tells people at the door, no photos. Patrons taking photos are subject to ejection. And he's saying, put your phone down. You can't get down with technology in your hand. But you know, he's right. I just think he's a little bit of a Luddite.
He put out CD-ROMs 20 years ago.
Right.
Tell us what you think.
Right. When asked last year whether he owned an iPhone, he replied, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
But he has people who phone for him. I bet you many in his entourage have an iPhone. He did use a phone, apparently, to help on Arsenio Hall, help a fan break up. Did you see this? I didn't see this.
He used a smartphone?
Well, let's see.
Help on things you might like Prince to solve. And there's a gentleman who told my producer a story.
Prince always looks like a Prince impersonator to me. I don't know.
This is Steven.
He just doesn't look like he really is there. Anyway, this guy asks Prince.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's looking at you.
Well, big glasses.
Yeah. Okay, Steve.
All right, we don't have to watch this. It apparently helps Steve break up with his girlfriend. Google discloses a pathetic $9.5 million in bonuses.
Yeah.
That's okay. Now, Eric Schmidt got $6 million all by himself. The chief financial officer, Patrick Pichette, $3 million in a yearly bonus. Chief business officer, Nikesh Arora, $3.5 million bonus. Chief legal officer, David Drummond, $3 million bonus. That's down a little bit. These will all be paid in a couple of days, so get ready, Silicon Valley, for a big, big party. No cash bonuses for Larry or Sergey. They didn't get cash bonuses last year, but I think when you're the owners, you don't get I don't bonus myself at the end of the year. $100 million in restricted stock, though, to Eric Schmidt, along with his $6 million bonus. See, that kind of tells you a little bit more. In recognition of his contributions to Google's performance in fiscal year 2013. That's just That's just prurient interest. People want to know how much money they make.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's like a $3 million bonus would change my life. On the other hand, it's not very much for Google.
No.
And actually, it's down. Those $3 million bonuses were down.
Down.
Like $3.3 million
Some are up.
Year.
Some are down. Some people, you know, bonuses are awarded based on merit, on contribution. Now, I think there's some interesting stuff going on with the wearable technology here. Some interesting comments. Google's head of Android, Chrome, and apps at South by Southwest talked about wearable tech and implied really what Google was going to do is make an SDK or some sort of low-level, maybe an operating system for people who make wearable tech. And I wonder, he said, in 2 weeks, we're launching the first developer SDK for Android wearables. They will lay out the vision for developers and how we see this market working. When we think of wearables, we think of it as a platform. We see a world of sensors. Sensors can be small and powerful. There are a lot of information that can be useful. We want to build the right APIs for this world of sensors. I wonder if Google isn't thinking of Glass as more of a, and I've said this before, a learning experience and an actual product.
Yeah,
and that ultimately they don't want to make all the, they want others to make the products just as they want others to make Android phones. And if Google's on them, then they will be happy.
If Android is the OS of wearables and sensors, then that's an enviable position, which also to me informs the interesting decision that Samsung made that their new watches are not Android.
Right.
Right, they're running Tizen because they were saying that Android's too slow.
Few companies have the resources of Samsung to develop their own operating system. Most companies will want to use off the shelf. And that's either, I mean, there aren't that many choices. There's QNX, I guess. There's a few things you could use, but I think if Google says, look, we've got a wearable specific SDK with our Android operating system, it's small enough and powerful enough to do what you want. And look, people using Google Glass got all this benefit out of it. I think that's pretty compelling. And to me, it kind of underscores what I always thought, which is that they didn't really intend to make Glass be a product.
That was a learning experience.
It was a learning experience. It was to stimulate the market. Maybe it was like their Nexus phones and tablets, an example of what could be done. But I think that they don't want to be a competitor to the people who might be using it.
You know, that raises an interesting question, because I've always said that Glass is the Newton of whatever follows, right? But Newton tried to be a product.
Right.
Are there examples you can think of before Google, before the Chromebook Pixel, before Glass, before these speculative, and the original Chromebook for that matter, that were what's the phrase you use for how good a product could be, and we want to show you the way, and actually release something to the public, but not make it into a product? I mean, Apple's never did that. Microsoft never did that. Are there cases where companies have done that in the past that you can think of?
Well, Microsoft.
Would they release that way?
Well, they didn't make computers until very, very recently. They made the operating system.
Yeah, but they didn't make a computer to show other computer makers how to make computers.
They didn't need to, well, they do. Intel does that. They did prototypes. Intel has been making,
but Intel never
concept
released
PCs.
Yeah,
right.
They were concepts. They were like concept
so. I
cards.
See what you're saying. Do exactly like Glass, which is make something, release it,
learn from it with the public.
Right.
What about those suitcase-sized cell phones?
Those were commercial products.
They were commercial products, but everybody laughed at them, right? I mean, right? Or just laugh in retrospect?
But Newton, everybody laughed at Newton too. But it was they wanted it to be a commercial product.
Yeah, I mean, the Segway was a commercial product, and
it was supposed to change the world,
right? But certainly they knew that the Segway would have to change culture in a way, and change, you know, like people would have to change their idea of what they thought was dorky. Of course, it didn't work. but
the Segway was always intended to be a product. It wasn't a test for a platform. I mean, they never open sourced it or anything.
I think it's interesting to use this power that they have at Google to put out a product that sets the bar.
Microsoft always did concept PCs, but you're right, they never made a PC. But I don't think they needed to. There were so many people making PCs that they didn't have to do the research.
The Intel, hold on a second.
Microsoft put the telemetry into
Windows. If you see behind
Windows.
Me, there's an Intel box. I would go get it. of a tablet right there.
Right.
That Intel was going to release.
Intel did it a lot.
They never released it to the market, but right. It reached that prototype stage. I worked on that product.
Right.
So they put a large team on it and put a lot of money into it.
It's a big R&D expense, as somebody's saying, to do as R&D to release a product publicly. Of course, they got people to pay $1,500 for it, so I don't think they lost money on it.
Schmucks like me.
Yeah. Well, why do you say that? Don't you love it?
No, I'm not trying to be mean to it anymore, but no, it's not.
All right, so look what I got. You didn't even notice because I've been wearing this all day. I've been wearing it for a couple of weeks now.
Oh.
So this is much more offensive.
Emra?
Yeah. it's the narrative clip. If you go to getnarrative.com, you can. It was a Kickstarter project under the name of Moto.
Right.
Remember that? And I bought it as a Kickstarter project, I think, or maybe right after it went out of Kickstarter. So I just got mine. They're going out now. The idea is it's a clip you wear on your clothing. It records a picture, not a great picture, 5-megapixel picture every, this is not it. So let me go ahead. See, this is, there you go. Every 30 seconds. It has a capacity for 4,000 images. It's USB connection. Yeah, it's expensive. It has 2-day battery life. So what you do is every day or so, you connect it up to a computer. The software downloads the images, puts them on narrative servers. As far as I can tell, they don't have a web-based interface. You have to look or view your pictures on your smartphone. So there's a narrative app for iOS and for Android. And I should put it on here so you can see the
Does it just make, like, stop-motion videos of your day or what?
No, it's kind of weird. Here, I can show you, I think. The problem is, of course, it's everything, so I have to be a little careful about what I show you. It's private. I mean, the whole idea is this is going to be private. It's not...
There,
I got to tell you... I don't recommend it for people with a large belly because I got a lot of pictures of the ceiling because it tips my belly tips the thing up just enough so that I'm really not getting pictures of anything interesting. I'm going to try different ways of mounting it. It's loading these up now. This is the other weird thing is that the pictures don't live on the phone. There's a nice shot of the ceiling. They also don't live on, here's a walk. Here I am walking in to work, I think. So a lot of, and that's just because of how I'm wearing it. It seems to take pictures up. So I have to figure out a way to wear this that it's not quite so. But every 30 seconds. Now, this is trimmed. So somehow they're looking for good pictures, just like G Plus does, down to 71 photos. If I turn off the trim, it's actually twice as many pictures, but they've taken some out. If you put it face down or you're in a darkened room, it just stops.
It's not very compelling.
Yeah, I mean, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be everything you did. It's not like you're actively taking pictures. You go back through it. I guess what I should show is something like we had the first day I wore it. We had a dinner party, so let me scroll through here, trying to avoid.
Did we get photos of the Japanese toilet in there?
You might if I showed them to you.
I'm not asking. I'm just asking.
It doesn't. It shoots straight forward. It doesn't shoot down. So you're not going to get anything too embarrassing.
All right.
So these are the first images I took. I'll tell you. I spent a lot. Oh, if you double tap it as I did here, it stars it and says this is a starred image. So it's a lot of. You could tell. I look at the computer screen a lot. Here's our kitchen. It isn't compelling. It's not supposed to be compelling in the sense that, you want to save these pictures. It's literally a record of what you did, what you looked at, right? All day.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then...
But, you know, when I look at, for instance, Mike Elgin now used something for glass. I don't know if you guys already know about this, but it takes, takes snapshots. Let me see if I can find his post. Take snapshots up front with your glass.
Not on order. That actually even bothers me.
Right. Right.
Because I like that on glass, I can tell people, listen, no, I'm going
to... No, this is recording picture all the time. Let me see if I can find it.
You know, at some point, this was years ago, but when Yahoo started to do some of their geolocation stuff with Flickr, they sent me a bike with a phone. It was a Symbian phone at that time, kind of mounted into the handlebars, and there was accelerometer and GPS. So when the bike was in motion, it would do this. It would take a photo every 5 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever. It would automatically upload to Flickr, and then it would map it, right? So you'd have this, like...
That's more interesting.
Which was really neat and really cool, and I enjoyed looking at them. But I found that, and I took some nice bike rides down by the ocean in San Diego. But I found that most of the pictures were not that usable. Right, it was just, you know, sky, or, you know, there wasn't anybody in it or whatever. And rather, you know, other than sort of jogging my memory about what a nice day that was down by, you know, the ocean, yeah, and, you know, they were low quality or whatever, I didn't see a whole lot of, it felt like a lot of data and a lot of processing power for something that I just didn't quite get the use for. Now, for something like mapping, you know, Google Maps or something like that, that makes a lot of sense.
The program Mike used is called Moment Camera. It's for Google Glass. So I don't know what's happening with this movie, but it made a movie out of his day, and took some stuff out and took some 48 minutes, 4 seconds. And this is from Glass. The movie's not playing, unfortunately, so there's something wrong with that. But he took a hike. It was beautiful images, but it's not all that interesting, frankly.
No, it's not. I mean, one of my students has an effort to do this for people with Alzheimer's, so they can try to recall their day.
Well, that's what this... Okay, so that's where this came from. So that was Gordon Bell wrote a book about this. His wife, Gwen Bell, had Alzheimer's. And Gordon was a guy who pioneered this. He wore one of these cameras years ago. And it was exactly it. So that your life... it's for you, your personal benefit. So that your life would have, you know, total recall. That was the name of the book.
Did you guys ever see The Whale Hunt? Jonathan Harris's The Whale Hunt?
No.
No.
Go to, if you would, thewhalehunt.org, and then click on the Begin Whale Hunt. Jonathan is a magnificent and amazing artist. So click on Begin Whale Hunt. Now, he took a picture at least once every 5 minutes, more often if something was happening through Whale Hunt. Now, on the bottom right there, Leo, you can see that there's a mosaic, and next to that, there's a timeline. You click on that. If you go to the right and see where there's a lot of photos,
yeah,
that's where stuff was happening. Well, guess what they were getting?
They had a whale. Yeah.
And you can see the timeline, the kind of heartbeat of this there.
Whoa.
Now, he's actually taking a picture, but this is this goes far beyond in terms of seeing what a day is like and getting some sense of
it. But he's using a camera.
He's using a camera.
Yeah.
But it shows you what's possible with this idea of collecting a day.
Right.
And then he sorts by people, by colors, by how many photos there are. And it's really absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
So there's something to this. But just putting that clip on you.
Well, it's not for... You're right. It doesn't have any resonance if you're not me. On the other hand, if I'm there, I think it's early yet. And this is very primitive.
Yes, I agree.
But on the other hand, a couple of things I would change. I'd make it a much more wide-angle image so that even though it's pointing the wrong way, it would get the whole thing. I don't care if it's a little fisheye because I want to see the faces. And then I'd love to be able to have some sort of interface where I could go in each night and say, oh, that was Mike, that was Joe, that was Sally. We were doing this. And now I'd have kind of a record of the day that I could go back and search for and so forth. And that might be of use for somebody with memory disorders. Or maybe 20 years from now, if I want to kind of relive my day, I don't know. There's some interest in this notion. The main reason I bring this up is because this is so much more offensive than Google Glass.
It is.
I was wearing it at the gym the other day, and I realized, you know, I'm taking pictures of all these people at the gym. They don't even know it.
Yeah. But then the gym cameras are doing the same, right?
Right. And this is just for me. I mean, I'm not sharing it.
See, I think it's a very simple modification to that device that makes it work. That you have a camera you're constantly wearing, and you can do a motion to take a picture when you want to.
I can double tap this.
Then I think that's, if you take off the constantly on, You just have the ability to record something, and it's always right there, immediately there. Simple as that. You don't pull out your phone. You don't do anything else. That has utility, and it also is a signal that says, "I'm, you know, Starship. I know I'm doing this."
So Dr. Morbius, I love it, says, this is dumb. There's a reason you don't remember mundane things. You're not supposed to.
Brain noise.
It's just, boy, you really realize how much of your day is unmemorable and doesn't deserve to be remembered.
Yeah. Totally unremarkable. Although there are times when I'm like, oh, remember that old apartment we lived in? How did we have that set up?
Right. I would love that.
Like, I would love to walk through the apartment I lived in 15 years ago. You know, that kind of thing.
I guess we'll have that, though, because we take so many damn pictures now with our smartphones.
Right. That's true.
If I go back through my Google Plus image library, that is actually a pretty good record of all the interesting stuff I did anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's interesting. Yeah, $279, I can't really recommend it because it's pretty pricey.
Is this a before you buy?
I bought it, but I'll review. I bought it when they first announced it. So it was almost a year ago, so it just came the other day. I'll definitely review it on Before You Buy on Tuesday. I think it's something that has some interest, and for some people might be but I really, you're talking about privacy issues.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, so what is different? I mean, I'm seeing everything.
Well, it's different.
If I record it for my later review, is that somehow?
Well, the difference is very simple. On glass as designed, I have to hit a button or say, Google, take a picture. And so it's an explicit act that I'm choosing to do. And that one assumes that I have some measure of permission to do this and that there is some transparency that I'm doing it. And that's the difference. That's why that same device with an obvious movement, I'd be absolutely cool with. I'd say no problem with it. Somebody would know you're taking a picture. Fine.
Bianca Bosker writing about it for the Huffington Post. The title was, "Nice to meet you. I've already taken your picture." And by the way, this is completely typical of the kind of picture that you get. This is a picture of her putting on her eye makeup from below. Because that's the problem. I mean, this thing is, you know, it's nobody's aiming it. At least with glass, you know what you're going to get, right?
Right. There's no viewfinder and you're aiming it. Even if you just double tap it, you don't know. You really don't know what you're going to get, right? If your shirt is rumpled or.
If I wear this into a bar in San Francisco, is it completely reasonable that I would get beaten up?
Well, the difference between that and glass is that it's a much less, you know, or much less conspicuous, right?
Sneakier.
Yeah.
I think it's less offensive because of that to people. Like, yeah. Like it's glasses like in your face. If they know, I don't think it bothers them.
I don't think they were complaining about being recorded. I think they were complaining about Google
attitude
and capitalism and
that's what I kind of think.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You tell me. Are you really annoying? Is it really annoying? Are you really annoyed by the fact that I'm taking your picture at twice a minute? While I talk to you?
I mean, the truth is, you can, the spies do it. You can put a camera in a button.
Right.
No big deal.
Right. But you kind of know you're doing something bad.
Put a lapel pin on.
Right.
Anything you want.
Right. Yeah, this at least is kind of, it kind of looks like a camera.
Well, but it doesn't say, what is that? I mean, unless you are really geeky and watch the show, you're not going to know what that is.
No.
You think it's a pacemaker or something.
Well, you can see a lens. It kind of, you can see the.
You're giving a lot of, I got to put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah, when I just looked at it, I hadn't heard of it. I thought it was some sort of Fitbit or something.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell people. That's just my heart rate monitor. Don't pay no attention to that.
But smile.
Hey,
you're on Leo's chest.
You're
camera.
On my camera. Hey, Prince, can I get down with this on my lapel? Huh? I wonder if I get thrown out of Prince concert. That's the question.
Well, that now makes me want to go to a Prince concert with hidden cameras and just have fun.
Yeah, just to mess with him.
Troll Prince.
Let's troll Prince. So I think the Android-based SDK is a very for wearables is a very smart move on Google's part.
Yes.
Nobody else is doing this, right? They want to be in there.
The Android strategy worked,
right?
Right. The strategy was always to have this free operating system out there, the more it's installed, the more developers will write for it, the more customers will have it, the more power they have. Hallelujah.
Yep.
That's it.
Hey, right. good news for you guys in Manhattan. You know, Microsoft still doesn't have a store in Manhattan. Apple does. And next, Google. Google apparently is searching for retail space in New York City.
I'll be there.
I think that didn't they... They put some money down on a place they're, not far from the Apple Store.
According to Cranes, they're close to signing a lease for an 8,000-square-foot, which is pretty small, 8,000-square-foot facility at 131 Green Street in Soho. Just a block.
Very hipster Soho.
Yeah, just a block from Apple's own Soho store, which is nice. Soho's where there's like art galleries and walk-up flats, expensive shopping.
Well, actually now it's become so touristy, it's basically every brand you already know.
Yeah.
Well, it's J. Crew and H&M and Uniqlo and all that. It's on a few galleries and
It's where I used to go to get my Oliver Peoples glasses.
Exactly. I'm fascinated what was happening at Best Buy. Best Buy has handed over huge boutique space to Samsung and Microsoft, less so Google. I know that Google, I mean, I sent Best Buy to Google years ago and they were doing it on their own. Or actually I didn't send them, they were on their own anyway. But there was talk about Google space in Best Buy stores. I think Google could go beyond just saying, here's a Nexus, because you can see it everywhere. I think, you know, Google can wow us with the Google lifestyle.
That's what it strikes me, is that Google doesn't... stores implies that they're there to sell something. There's a counter and you have money. I don't think that's really what these things are. When I look, I mean, they have Chromebook things in the airport, and it's really more about just, look at all the things you can do with Chromebooks and Nexuses.
And maps. And people go into that. And when we're at I.O., right, everybody goes into the Geodesic Dome to play with the map thing and say, ooh, Google's cool. And Google needs to do more of that.
It'll be situated in between Tiffany and Louis Vuitton. That tells you something, doesn't it?
And maybe there'll be a line around the corner of people who've been locked out of their Gmail account.
Is this where I get support for Gmail? Because I forgot my password.
It'd be interesting if they do a Genius Bar or support area,
I think that's a game show. The Google Geniuses versus the Apple Geniuses.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that movie, The Internship, would have you believe that there's a fleet of, Google customer support folks who want to help you out with
problems. And I've had issues with Chromebook. I mean, they're there.
Okay, mm-hmm. Google now. What's up?
Good afternoon. Leo, the time is 2:05 p.m. You received a notification from Clash of Clans at 2 p.m. Chief, our shield is about to run out.
Oh, no.
262966 sent you a text message at 1:40 p.m. saying Amazon.com. Your package with Breville and two other items has been delivered by the carrier. Rate packaging at Amazon.com/box.
Thank you.
You received a notification from CNN at 1:43 p.m.
So as I'm driving around now, I can say, okay, Google, now what's up? And it will do all that. It'll read me all my notifications, tell me what time it is, what the weather's like. I love this thing.
That's just built in?
Moto X?
Yeah. It's part of the Moto X.
Oh, wait.
Oh, so that's this one.
You want it, don't you?
Ah.
It's a talking Google Now.
What's up? It's searching. Dang.
I'm telling you, I love the Moto X.
I'm getting tech news stories about what's up.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
My.
And that Moto X really still.
Google. What's up?
No, I won't do it. It's part of their touchless control.
What's up? Home.
Yeah, I got WhatsApp. That's right.
It's pretty cool. I have to say, the touchless stuff on the Moto X is pretty amazing. Apparently, what is that CyanogenMod phone? The one-on-one or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
They're going to, I don't know if you talked about this last night on All About Android, but they're going to have some sort of touchless control as well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're asking on their website now people to vote on what the phrase will be.
Right.
It has to be something easy to say, easy to remember, but...
CyanogenMod ain't it.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Cyanogen mod. They have to have something.
The Oppo, the N1?
N1.
Cyanogen mod edition, right.
Yeah.
I think you should ask Tim in tribute to the obvious.
Ask Tim. Okay. Or ask Jarvis.
I'd take it. Or better yet, Gina.
Microsoft has like a help thing that's going to be called Cortana.
Cortana,
right?
Cortana, which is a character in Halo. Halo. Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
The OnePlus, that's it. OnePlus. I was trying to remember the name.
OnePlus
phone. And they're let me see they're going to have Moto X style commands. The Oppo is making some very interesting hardware, and I like the idea. I guess that it's based on Cyanogen Mod, which is the mod.
Oh, the Oppo is?
Yeah, the new OnePlus.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if they're going to have the capability that the Moto X does of having listening without using a lot of power. So the vote currently, how would you like to wake up your OnePlus One? Is okay, OnePlus is number one. Yeah. Wake up, OnePlus is number two. Alakazam in third place. I like Alakazam. Not something you say in regular life.
Right, because you don't want it to be like, hey.
Hey.
Because anytime you say that.
Hey, OnePlus.
Hey, OnePlus.
There was a great Google Plus post last week that somebody listens to us in their car with their Moto X there, and every time any one of us says Google.
Oh, yeah. It's driving crazy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's all do it. Was it OK Google?
Okay Google or OK Google Now, yeah.
All right. Each one, okay. Okay, Google. Just to do it, Tom.
Okay, Google Now.
Google. Oh, I like it. Okay, Google, what's up?
Same thing happens with the Xbox. Watch this. Anybody watching us in an Xbox, if I say Xbox, turn off. This is the problem we're going to have with speech recognition. It's going to be a problem.
Yep.
It's going to hit podcasters especially hard.
Yeah, you're going to get, okay car turn left is going to be a problem when you say that on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Google changelog.
Yay!
Our show today brought to you.
Some good ones this week. You stay tuned. There's some good stuff.
You won't want to miss it. Our show today brought to you by 286,999 designers who want to create designs for you at 99designs.com. It is a great place to go. If you have an app, a business, you want some beautiful design, you're not a designer yourself, which is most of you don't think you are if you are not trained, whether it's a new logo, a website, a stationery, T-shirt, there's a designer at 99designs.com. Could bring your idea to life. Wouldn't it be cool if you could start a design contest today, get dozens of designers submitting ideas to you within the next few days? You could pick and pay as little as $199 with a 100% money back guarantee. We love 99 Designs. We use it all the time. We just got our new hoodies. In fact, let me show you. If you go to teespring.com/twit, you can see the new hoodie. We got this designed by a designer at 99 Designs. And they really did a lovely job with the logo. But I have to say, we had a contest. We have 40 submissions. We liked five of the designs so much we bought all five of them. I think we paid $299 each because they're just great. We have a ladies' style Bella hooded sweatshirt, too. And don't buy one, Jeff or Gina. Just want to say, do not get one. You'll find out why later.
Oh,
so 99.
Well, I'll be getting one for a gift for someone else. So.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, come here. Burke's wearing his right now. 99designs.com. That's where we got this. That's where you're going to get great designs. And Burke says, thumbs up. Burke's working on it. Can you do a little turn on the catwalk? You are too sexy for your hoodie. Too sexy for your hoodie.
I like the logo on the arm. It's cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
99designs.com. If you go to 99designs.com/twig, you'll get a $99 power pack of services absolutely free. That'll give you more designer time and attention. They'll bold, highlight, and feature your design in the 99 Designs Marketplace. You'll get twice as many designs as a result. Everybody go to 99designs.com/twig. And now break out the trumpets because, my friends, It is time for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
And of course, who better than Gina Trapani to give us the latest from Google?
The big new item this week is Google Drive add-ons. Think about these like Gmail Labs features. They're add-ons, extensions to Google Drive, not to Chrome the browser, but in Google Drive. So in Google Docs, in the new version of Google Sheets, there is a new add-ons menu. This is actually rolling out right now, and I'm not seeing it in my Google apps.
I got it.
Oh, you got it. Great, Jeff.
Yep.
There's a new add-ons menu. So you click on the add-ons menu, you select Get Add-ons, and that's where you can install add-ons. And these are basically just little new features that are developed, some developed by Google, some developed by partners, that add functionality to Google Drive. They've got add-ons that translate the selected text, find synonyms, create a table of contents, insert maps, basically adds a lot of different kinds of functionality.
So where will we see this again? How do we see if we have it?
On the top of Docs.
Yes, so you have to be in Docs or Sheets, the new version of Sheets. There will be a menu item, right? Add-ons next to Tools, right, Jeff?
Yeah, up top.
So how do I get in Docs?
Yeah, like create a new Doc.
Just create it, huh?
Drive.
Oh, I don't have to be in Docs. I don't have to be specifically in Docs.
Hold on.
Yeah, you do have to be like in a Doc.
Okay, I'm in a Doc.
There's
new
the menu.
Add-ons. It's right there. Look at it. It's how exciting.
The best.
What are the best?
Drive has trace changes.
Oh, that's huge.
Which,
see,
you know,
this
all the irony of having had that in Wave, and they never added it in here. Finally, it's through an add-on.
Wow. Now, these are free, or some of them aren't?
Yeah, so I think that some of these services actually may be paid for, but I believe these add-ons are free.
I think the fax one, for example, charges you.
Yeah,
but this is like putting, you know what, this is directly competitive with Word. Track changes is a feature Microsoft Word has had for years, but was always missing for Docs. That's great.
It's a translate right within Docs. You can add a map within Docs. You can do a conference call around a doc.
Oh, this is great.
Very cool.
You could have a Google Sheet, for example, of names and addresses, and select all the addresses and generate a Google Map with an add-on.
And then they enter the add-ons menu, so they'll be there. Wow,
right,
this is
right.
Really
they'll be there
great.
As they get released. Lifehacker did a rundown of the best add-ons that are available right now. HelloFax is one of them that Jeff just mentioned. You can send a fax directly from Drive with the HelloFax. Mapping Sheets, which is what I was just saying. You can select a bunch of addresses and make a map. Easy Bib, which creates bibliographies using MLA, APA, or Chicago style. You just select your sources and citations, and it makes it. There's an Uber Conference, MindMeister, Track Changes, tons of stuff here. So this is a really, really big change. And, you know, and I love this. I love the way Google has this history of, like, providing these hosted apps, but then creating hooks for developers to create, you know, extensions to them, much like Labs. But what I like about this is that it's open, obviously, to external developers, or at least their partners.
What do you write these in?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? That's a good question. They haven't exposed, as far as I know, they haven't exposed an API or an SDK for these. I think that they reached out to partners, and, you know, now on this initial release to see what they can get. Hopefully they are going to make it. I would love to see, you know, a store for this kind of thing, much like, you know, the Chrome store, the web store. But right now it's just selected partners and Google creating these features. And that was always my gripe with Google, with Gmail Labs, is that those lab features only came from inside Google. But, you know, it's complicated to make extensions to a hosted app like that. So, yeah, really cool stuff. That was the big new thing this week.
Look at this. You can sign docs with HelloSign, which gives you legally binding signatures in docs.
Well, if they accept it. But, yeah, you can just put a signature on. And because I have a fax machine somewhere, and I have to plug it in and plug it into the phone lines. I only have one phone line now, and it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So now I don't even have to fax. I don't have to print out and scan the document and all that kind of stuff. I can just sign the document online with this, and it's great.
This is so really great.
Yeah, I mean, I send the fax maybe once or twice a year, and that kind of thing is so so.
Hello
useful.
Sign is the same people as do Hello Fax. I'll have to add that too. Wow. Charts. I like the Pro Writing Aid. It'll detect plagiarism as well as errors, grammatical mistakes in your writing, consistency check. This is really neat.
Yeah, Avery has a mail merge feature.
Yeah, mail merge. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yep.
Charts. So I could see you could not only get to, you know, this is what Microsoft Office should do. You could get to all of the power of Microsoft Office, but the user controls the complexity by just adding the add-ons they need right. and adding it to the menu. So
now imagine, for example, that screenwriters could do an add-on for formatting
right.
scripts.
Right. Well, I'm sure they will.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things.
This is really neat.
It's very neat. And it's so quiet. They write, Gina, it just came out with a whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It did. It's actually pretty incredible, and it was pretty quiet. And this goes so far beyond things just like templates. Like I'm thinking, like I would love to see something like, you know, something that connected helpouts, for example, to Drive. Like you know, you have some of those review. There's mm-hmm. one add-on that lets you get approval from your team. Like yeah, this document's good to go, the check mark. But I'm just thinking about like say writing your resume. You know that kind of thing. You can start off with a template, but then to have others review it or translations. Also, you know, translation review. I mean, in so many situations, you want to collaborate with trusted advisors or friends or maybe even strangers just to get help with something that you're writing. And I feel like this feels like a step toward that.
Create a conference call within a document. Here's Code Pretty, formats code blocks. It's a pretty printer. And
oh, man, this is so much like nice. Wave. I actually had made the connection that this was very Wave-like. But this is like the widgets and add-ons that you could build into a Wave.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah.
All right. So go create a doc.
They've come
and you'll
up
see a new add-ons menu.
Since I first saw it. I saw it like, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huge list.
You can manage your add-ons here, rate them. This is good.
I mean, music notation, that's new.
Yeah, I love that.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's cool.
MailChimp merge.
Yeah,
you can merge your mail with chimps.
Yeah. No, yeah,
they'll keep writing and writing and writing until you finally turn out Shakespeare.
Thousands of monkeys. 10,000 monkeys.
Google has thousands of virtual monkeys.
So, but they didn't publish an API for this.
Not as far as I know. And this is typical of them, right? I mean, it seems like that they would, that this is, you know, the initial launch is just to see what people can do. They'll see how popular it is. And then
here's a blog, Labnol, labnol.org post that says how to write an add-on for Google Docs. You use HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, kind of like any traditional web app.
Oh, okay.
Open a new document inside Google Drive. Choose Tools Script Editor. This is the apps script IDE. And then you can paste in this code. That's going to give you this kind of generic add-on. And then you can write the server-side script. And then, so this actually looks like something you could do pretty easily. Oh, yeah.
I stand corrected. Save your changes. Choose.
This is from Amit Agarwal.
Uh huh. Yeah, Amit's great.
Yeah.
And then you can share it with other users. Easy to share the document. Anyone can view.
That's pretty neat.
Okay, so this isn't sort of the, you know, you can't get placed next to the right. folks like MailChimp and HelloFax, but yeah, this is a way to script.
But you could put your dynamic. You could put yourself. It says you can add yourself to the Chrome extension store. So it sounds like it's like a Chrome extension, huh?
Yeah, this is. So I forgot that that apps has this script IDE where you can create scripts much like macros, you know, in Microsoft Office. But this is based on HTML. Yeah, this is great. Amit's great. So I stand corrected. There is a way to do this. I love it.
With apps script, you can create add-ons for Google Sheets, Docs, or Forms, automate your workflow, integrate with external APIs, and more. And Google does document this at developers.google.com. So search for apps script. And there, it totally tells you how to create a Docs add-on. Custom menu in Google Sheets. That's sweet.
I'm glad I was wrong about that. That's good.
Sweet. Sweet. Now, yeah, how do you get in that that menu of items? I don't know. I guess Google
the other thing
curates
is
that.
The track changes is looking a little bit awkward, so I want people to compete and come up with the best track
changes. Let's make a better one.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to write a word count. It's going to be so good. It's going to do spaces, words, paragraphs. You're going to love it.
I use that more than you would. Germans assign you by characters.
Oh.
The Americans by words.
Huh?
By character. Wow.
By character. I get character assignments from Germany.
So you can use fewer but larger words and still meet your character count.
German. That defines German. Fingerspitzengefühl.
I feel like, am I having a stroke? I don't understand what he's talking about. Does it make any sense at all to anybody? Gina, you understand this?
Well, in a situation where you've got only so much space to print characters, right?
Okay, I guess I'm just out of it. I stayed up last night playing.
Tap your chest and you'll remember this moment.
Hey, that was the day I think Jeff Jarvis invented the World Wide Web that day. That's my memory of it anyway.
Sir Jeff to you.
Sir Jeff. anyway, add-on. Go ahead. That was just the first of the Google changelog. Go ahead.
That was the first and the biggest. Got a couple other minor items. Gmail iOS app got an update. The app now fully supports background refresh, which means if your Gmail messages will be prefetched and synced. So they're right there when you open up the app. No more pauses while you wait for your inbox to refresh. This is dependent on iOS 7, and you'll have to turn on background app refresh and notifications for the Gmail app to work like this. And the Gmail app for iOS also supports sign-in across Google iOS apps, including Maps, Drive, YouTube, and Chrome. So you sign into one, you sign into all. Same thing for sign out. So nice update there for the Google iOS apps.
Yay.
Google quietly redesigned their newspaper archive, which I didn't even know that they had. Makes searching through them easier. So you go to news.google.com/newspaper, and you'll see this archive page that shows hundreds of newspapers organized by title. And you can search within those papers or look through other news sources. You can look at issues from specific dates. I played around a little bit.
I didn't know about this either.
I had no idea that this existed.
I love, go to the Inland Empire. The first edition.
The crime beat? The Inland Empire.
The Inland Empire from 1905.
First edition. Oh, look at that.
And just look at the first two columns, like the first third columns. I love this. I use this as a background for, if you can zoom in on the first column.
Okay.
The second column on the first page. It just has this great small newspaper stuff.
Trouble in Tokyo. The Japanese resent terms of peace treaty with violence.
The late Joseph Jefferson advised one of his friends as soon as he passed 70 to cultivate a garden. The saddest thing in old age, he said with a smile, as if nothing were wholly sad, is the absence of expectation.
Aw. Dr. C.H. McComb, a dentist of Missoula, stopped off here Saturday to look over the country and consider the feasibility of locating for the practice of his profession. He's pleased with the community, I'm glad to report.
I just love this.
N.D. Parcher makes daily trips between Moore and Rockford, a distance of 6 miles, being in the service of Uncle Sam as mail carrier.
L.L. Bannon, the painter and sign writer, and his assistant, J.F. Richards, are kept on the jump from morning until night, literally painting the town all colors.
What's a different world? Hey, here's a barber who cuts hair with a neatness and dispatch guaranteed.
Here's my favorite. J. David of Utica, a son of Dr. O.F. David, drove in from that place Tuesday of last week, bringing with him Mrs. H.G. Phillips and Mrs. J.G. Huntoon. These ladies were returning to Lewistown from a 10-day visit with Utica friends. Film at 11.
Here is a physician and surgeon who does house calls.
Well, a surgeon.
With complete stock of drugs.
Empty off the kitchen table. You're going out tonight.
I'm going to do a house call. Before you buy, get our prices. Yeah. This is really.
Isn't this great?
Really fun. So that is the Inland Empire, which I guess is a Montana newspaper from 1905. But look at all the newspapers.
Wow, look at the density of the text. Lots of newspapers, but I have to tell you, the first thing I reached for was the New York Times. Like, I want to get some classic New York Times going on there, and I couldn't find them. So it's a limited collection, but as you can see, there's some really great stuff.
You can search for the New York Times at the New York Times, and that's how I when I did all my stuff about the fiendish Kodakers lying in wait in the 1890s about privacy and cameras,
yeah.
That was from the New York Times equivalent, and it's just great to read these things in the original piece. It's
so Google scanned these. Is that where they came from?
Yeah, there's a limited sample of them. I don't know how they got them, or what the deal is.
I don't know. This was totally new to me. I was like, oh, they redesigned this thing, and I had no idea.
Didn't know there was another one.
I've been covering Google for 5 years. Didn't know. One of the surprise Google products.
Yeah, and so it's not papers that are trying to sell their archives like the New York Times. Those have real value. And it right. is, seems like it's very old stuff for the most part.
Yeah.
Although here's the Bluffton Chronicle. I'm sorry, the Blackfoot Valley Dispatch from 2009. So you could see what's going on in Blackfoot Valley.
Lincoln Rodeo draws a patriotic crowd.
Yeah. Forest Service offers thinning demo. There's nothing like small town papers. You know, I bet the crime file's fabulous here. Lordy, lordy, guess who's 40? Who could it be? Must be Annie. Congratulations, Annie.
Oh,
yeah.
Lordy, lordy, guess who's 40? That's great. So great.
Now, you talk about communities. You know, this was communities.
Yeah, this is amazing.
This was what it was, folks.
Small town papers.
We got all haughty and snotty and thought we were, you know, changing the world. We were telling you that the ladies came back from Utica after a nice 10-day visit.
I wonder if they have the Petaluma Argus Courier.
Oh, I wonder. I bet you could search for it, Leah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
You could do a find on page or you could search in the
box. I know. I'm sure I could, but I'm having too much fun scrolling through. There's the Pahrump Valley Gazette.
Pahrump.
It's in Nevada. Petaluma Daily Argus from 18. Holy cow. From 1899.
Jeez.
OMG.
What was going on in Petaluma in 1899?
What was going on is right.
Slight problem with the old microfiche there.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. We got a big black section. This is great. I'm going to have to go through some of this stuff.
Oh, give us a sample.
A complaint of exceptional bitterness.
See, I was in Petaluma even back then.
Was filed in the Superior Court of San Francisco Saturday afternoon. The suit brought by Walter Dinmore against his father-in-law, his sister-in-law, his brother-in-law, and his wife's attorney-at-law, asking for damages in the sum of $50,000 for malicious and pernicious influence in which the said defendants still continue to exert over Nanny Dinmore, the plaintiff's wife. He has been wrongfully deprived of the affection, society, and services of his said wife and children and suffered great distress of mind.
Wait a second. Does that say the Druids picnic?
Oh, well, we still do that. The Druids picnic.
Really?
At Starks Park Sunday, several hundred people responded to the invitation of the Petaluma and Cypress Groves. The dance hall was packed from morning until the last strains of music died away. The processions of the member of the order, headed by the band and Marshall Collins, left Gross Hall at 10:30 and marched to the park where they danced naked for hours. The most exciting, wait a minute, field sports. The most exciting of the racing was the Fat Man's Race, in which Frank Cornwall, E. Josey, and E. D. Bernardi competed. The Fat Man's Race. There's something for all of us. This is wonderful.
Isn't that
incredible?
Wonderful. Maine and Western, Thomas Roach. Hey, I wonder if we could find the. We should. I bet you there's an ad in here for the original furniture company that was in our building.
Only the ads have any sort of graphics or big text, right? That like the news is just wall of text.
Well, but right, wasn't this Jeff? Tell us, Mr. Professor of Journalism, the whole point of newspapers in the was just they put the content in there as a something to separate the ads.
Right. Originally, it was shipping notices and that kind of stuff.
Right. Is the best good enough for you? I don't know. Wow. If so, you cannot do better than call on us when in need of groceries. Advertising's come a long way. A long way. Eagle Flour, the strongest and best flour made in the state.
Here we are. Imagine the chat room is going nuts about now. This week in 1899.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this harkens back to a time when ink on paper was actually meaningful. Like, this was community.
You can patent anything you can invent, it says. Wait a minute. Now it disappeared. Oh, boy.
Oh, the ad for patents.
Also, get caveat, trademark, and copyright design protection. God, if I'd been back then and I invented podcasting, I could be rich today. Fire alarm boxes.
This was a great squirrel for us.
I'm sorry. We really did get sucked into this. Continue.
I knew this would be Leo and Jeffrey.
Do you want to be up to date? If you do, put in a home telephone. No party lines with eavesdroppers to annoy you. Only $1 a month for residences. Call at our office and give your order for a phone from the home telephone company. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. This is 1899. They had phones back then.
Chicken news?
Oh, I'm sure. But I'll save that for another day because there's still more in the change log. That was just item two. This is going to be a long show. Continue on.
This is one more. One last item.
Okay.
The Google Wallet Android app is adding a new feature for orders. This tracks your online purchases using your receipts from Gmail, much the way the Google Now does. So I haven't actually got this yet. This is rolling out to the Wallet app. But there'll be an order section in the Google Wallet app, and it'll send you a push notification when an order has been shipped. You know, if you're waiting for something from Amazon or Zappos or wherever. You do have to update it inside the Wallet app. I think that you have to turn it on when you get the update, but handy feature, a little redundant because I do see that in Google Now, and you will too, but nice to see that Google's trying to make Wallet your, you know, place where you buy stuff and place where to know whether or not the stuff that you bought is on its way. That's all I got.
And that's the Google change law.
A lot of change between here and 1899.
No kidding. Pants, suits from $7 and up, pants $2.50, vests $3.
Serviceable suits.
Here's the guy I want to go see. To the Unfortunate from a Dr. Gibbon. This old, reliable, and most successful specialist at San Francisco still continues to cure all sexual and seminal diseases. Ooh. Gonorrhea, something I can't read. Stricture, syphilis in all its forms.
Is that a bad word?
Loss of manhood. No, I just can't read it.
Gleet.
Gleet. I don't know what that is. The consequence of self-abuse and excesses producing the following symptoms. Sallow countenance, dark spots under the eyes, pain in the head, ringing in the ears, loss of confidence, diffidence in approaching strangers, palpitations of the heart's weakness of the limbs and back, loss of memory, pimples on the face, coughs, consumptions, etc.
Gleet, you'll Harry be glad palms, to know, blindness. Is a watery discharge from the urethra caused by gonorrheal infection.
Oh, it's the clap.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you go to this guy, though? He looks scary.
So they basically blamed everything from pimples to headaches on self-abuse?
The consequences of self-abuse. Persons cured at home.
From that to the internet, folks.
But thank goodness the internet exists because we can see this. This is amazing. So these are just all really obscure little newspapers that somehow Google. Some of these have, say library on them. These are scans from, or maybe it is microfiche.
It might be microfiche.
Maybe they bought some database somewhere. Wow, that's wild. All right.
Squirrel.
Big squirrel on that one. Thank you, Jeff and Gina. What should we do here? Let's take a break. Come back with more. We got more news.
That was so exhausting. We got to have a break.
I am drained. Maybe I should see that Dr. Gibbon.
Too much information, Leo.
I'm exhausted, Dr. Gibbon. I got circles under my eyes. Our show today brought to you by Shutterstock. You know, they could have used some good stock images in those newspapers. Don't you think if they only had had Shutterstock back then, they could have brought them vividly to life? And with over 30 million stock images, vectors, and footage, there's just no lack of great stuff. Great apps for Android and iOS, Webby award-winning apps. Currently, 34,671,266 royalty-free stock images at Shutterstock.com. And a quarter of a million were added this week, which is pretty amazing. They're all gorgeous, too. They're all curated images for everything you need, including editorial. You need an Angelina Jolie for your blog post. There you go. They've got all kinds of images. And all you have to do is search. You can search as with most search. By the way, this is the thing that makes Shutterstock unique. Not only as many images as it has, but the best search engine, so you can very quickly find what you want. Not only search by nouns, but also adjectives. You could search by subject, color, file type, gender, emotion. I mean, it really is the best search tool ever. And then as you're browsing through images, you'll also be able to share those images with colleagues and clients by creating a free account. You don't have to give them a credit card. It's absolutely free. The account gives you a couple of nice benefits. You get free images. Each week they feature a free photo and free vector image for you, free for the taking, no watermark or anything. You'll also be able to use Lightboxes to save images, to share them with friends or colleagues. Once you've got an account, if you see an image you want to buy, I invite you to use our offer code TWIG314, and you'll get 20% off any package. Look at all this great stuff. Shutterstock.com. We should search for glept. No, maybe it'd be better not. But maybe, you know, if I get a good image of a doctor, we could use for Dr. See, wouldn't you rather go to that doctor than Dr. Gibbon? That was a scary picture of him.
It was.
Scary guy. He looked like Rasputin, the mad monk. Don't forget when you go to Shutterstock to click the footage tab because there's great video, too. I love it. Shutterstock.com. We thank them for their support. And when you decide to buy, save a lot by using the offer code TWIG314. There you go. Are those from Shutterstock? Those are video images of the Facebook like, thumbs down, and something. I don't know.
Hand gesture. Yeah.
Handshake. Yes, yeah, hand gesture. Facebook, by the way, set a new all-time high this morning, $72 a share. Boy, they ought to spend $16 billion on apps more often.
Yeah. So how much equity did they gain back?
Well, I bet you they gain almost all of it back.
That's the thing.
When you're paying in funny money, it doesn't really cost you anything. Wow. Facebook let's go look because I can just do this in Google. FBOOK, right? And then Google FB. Finance. FB, is that what it is?
FB.
FB. And then Facebook and then Google Finance will give me the stock summary.
Market cap of $180 billion.
Chimney, niminy, criminy, bimini. Their low was $17. And now they're at they've gone down from the $72 high this morning. They're now down to almost $70.88.
But a month ago, they were at $67.
That's pretty amazing.
I don't know how to calculate the difference in...
And look how it jumped in February. I mean, I think when they announced WhatsApp, it's been going up ever since. So the market believes it. I think that February jump is when their quarterly results came out, and it showed that they were doing very well indeed in mobile. Because that was the big question mark, wasn't it?
That was a huge thing. And mobile was nowhere. I mean, it was brilliant. Mobile was nowhere for them, and now it's huge for them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you made the most important point, which is that the of the $16 billion they paid for WhatsApp, 12 was stock. Yeah. And so that's, you know, as the stock goes up, it I don't think that means they put more money into it. Maybe it does. I don't know.
Well, indeed, you wonder, I don't know when the deal closes and all that.
Maybe they just set a certain number of shares and that was valued at 12 at the time.
But they still end up with more stock.
We don't know. Right. Yeah. We don't know. Samsung won in court. Apple was asking that 35 Android devices from Samsung be blocked at the border. Judge Lucy Koh said, no. But The Galaxy S5 could still be in trouble because there's a ban right now in South Korea that keeps carriers from adding new customers or allowing their customers to upgrade phones.
Because there were reports they were subsidizing too much.
45-day ban.
Up to $250.
Wow. It wasn't specifically Samsung, but the carriers...
Like nobody could take a new customer on. It's wacky.
The carriers were illegally subsidizing smartphones. The law in South Korea is that only $250 can be subsidized. And they were apparently giving... I mean, gosh, when you get an iPhone or a Galaxy S4 in the U.S., you're talking a $400 or $500 subsidy in some cases, right? Because they're giving you $200. No. Twitter is testing. By the way, speaking of tests, the Google big giant ad at the top of the search engines, that's not going to happen.
No, not happening.
Didn't work, I guess. Anyway, they've decided not to do it. But Twitter is testing a click-to-call button, which allows mobile users to call advertisers directly. So if you're looking at a tweet or that's an ad, you could press a button and would you ever do that?
You know, we've had that on web pages for ages and ages and ages. I don't know whether it really works.
Who's going to do that? But remember, this is now on your phone, right?
That's a point. That's a good point.
Yeah. So you are holding a phone in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who uses the phone to make calls? I mean,
good point.
I mean, really, it's not the action.
A New York woman whose child spent $65.95 on digital crystals has sued Google on behalf of all parents everywhere, claiming the Google Play Store is full of games and apps that lure children into spending money. The lawsuit was filed in San Francisco on Friday. Her 5-year-old son spent the money while playing Marvel Run Jump Smash on a Galaxy tablet. It accuses Google of unjust enrichment. Apple lost a case like that, actually had to pay quite a bit to parents. I got a little $5 gift card for this. But apparently the problem is...
I think Apple's case was like $60, $65 million.
Yeah, it was a big deal. They paid a $32.5 million fine earlier this year to the FTC. So Apple, the way it works is once your password's entered, it even says this is a warning on the screen now. They just started doing this. For 15 minutes, you don't have to enter your password. So in Google, there's a 30-minute window following the initial purchase and in which you can offer stuff for sale without asking for a password. So I guess the trick kids use, and a 5-year-old isn't too young to do this, is mommy, and you want to do me unlock this? She unlocks it, and then they buy stuff for half an hour.
Yeah, like she bought the app, handed it to her kid, and then he did an app purchase. But, you know, Android, we talked about this quite a bit on All About Android last night. Android offers restricted profiles, which can restrict in-app purchases. And I thought that there was a choice. I just did an in-app purchase yesterday, and I thought there was a choice that said, you know, don't ask me for my password ever again, which was unchecked. I mean, there's ways to change this. It just seems like if you know, in court, how is Google going to defend itself? I think that Google has a strong case to say, look, we provided restricted profiles, we have some parental controls, we have a setting to disable this. So, you know, we have made an effort to prevent this from happening.
Next time you see Kevin Toffel, give him a hard time. His kid spent $375 on digital fish.
Oh, man.
Kevin should know better. Anyway.
Right. And the responsibility is, we were talking about this last night on the show, is you'll really kind of spread across parents, the developers, the apps, and Google. The platform, right?
Yeah. But Apple lost.
And there's also something about, you know, selling digital fish is ethically challenging.
Well, get ready for this, because now we know this is how you, if you want to make money in apps, you do in-app purchases. Yeah. That's it, period.
It's a schmuck tax, right? Just like the lottery.
It's the schmuck tax.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yep.
Under Marissa Meyer, 31 of Yahoo's 38 acquisitions of startups have been shuttered.
What I didn't see in that story, because I didn't look hard enough, it's my fault, but are those ones, those aren't ones that she bought. Those are ones that were bought, or well, prior mistakes.
And it doesn't mean that they're, this is an article at Read Write Web, Yahoo, destroyer of startups. But we don't, you know, that Facebook does the same thing too, because they're often acquirers where they don't buy the product, they're buying the team.
Right. Right. And this is about talent. Right.
Right. In the first 2 months of 2014, Marissa Meyer acquired 8 companies, including Aviate. Remember that? Incredible Labs, makers of the digital mobile assistant Donna, Spark, a mobile marketing company, and Tomfoolery, an enterprise application studio. All of which, I guess, have disappeared. I don't use Aviate. Is it still around? 31 of the 38 acquired startups have been shut down. If you use Visify, here comes Sunset. Donna ceased to exist 1 month after acquire. Spark, some of Spark's services are gone. Sumly, you see Sumly, that was the kid, the teenager who sold his company to Yahoo. That's now in the Yahoo News app, which is great. Yahoo News Digest. I think this is not unusual, frankly. I think it's unfair to call her a destroyer of startups.
I think it is unfair.
A monetizer. Yeah.
And she always liked, I think it was Stephen Levy's book about, or article about her, that manager program that she was ahead of at Google. And there was a point at which he asked about, you know, the Googlers that she was training to be in management, you know, so many of them often wanted to go off and be entrepreneurs and start their own companies. And she, and her response to that was, yeah, those are the people that we want. We want people who want to be entrepreneurs and who are going to take charge and lead and innovate in a way that, you know, who have that kind of desire. So it makes a lot of sense that she would want to acquire startups that, you know, not only, you know, had innovative technology, but also had leaders within them that might help change the culture inside of Yahoo.
Instagram big update today on Android. It launches faster, doubles the speed of profile loading, and a redesigned camera. I thought it looked a little weird, but I didn't realize.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't. Instagram 5.1 doesn't. It doesn't.
Ooh, it's all flat.
Yeah. It's the new flat. Instagram. And according to this article at The Verge, this is all about global. I don't know why it would be, but apparently they're going after Brazil and other countries that are showing some real smartphone growth. Juice up global expansion. Oh, because it looks better on low resolution Android phones, cheaper Android phones.
Thus, the illustration of a cheap Android phone. I get it.
Aha. Aha. That's an Instagram, is a Facebook company. But apparently there is a critical flaw in WhatsApp, another Instagram, another Facebook company that for Android, but we'll be, you know, big deal. Facebook campus was locked down last night due to an unsubstantiated threat. Don't do that, kids. That's not nice.
It was a bomb threat.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I was very impressed with the campus because you drive around, it just looks like, as I mentioned when we were there, just some, you know, boring Sun office buildings. But inside, it's Disneyland, right?
Right.
But you can't get in there unless you go through one of the buildings.
Right. Oh, interesting.
As opposed to Google, where you can wander around the campus and gawk at them. At Facebook, you can only enter Disneyland.
That's good.
Through there. It is.
Yeah. That's a good idea. The BBC has released its 30th anniversary edition of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text adventure.
How geeky can you get?
It's the Infocom text adventure being re-released. That's cool. Apparently they commissioned a remake of it 10 years ago, and this is a reworking of the original game. So there's a, let's see where we can find this. I want to get it now.
Probably have to be in Britain.
Oh, that would be really terrible. There's a walkthrough. You know, you can get these Infocom games. There are a number of players that will play the text. Here you go. And here's all the games. These were great games. Very difficult. Yeah, look at that. Zork 1, 2, 3, Enchanter, Sea Stalker, Sorcerer, Spellbreaker, Wishbringer, Starcrest, Suspended, Planetfall. I played almost all of these. Don't laugh.
Yeah, reminding me of wasted time in my youth.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd wasted on something better than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Apparently somebody just eBayed the new HTC One.
Yeah, I saw that. $500 yeah. on eBay, Verizon Packaging.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal.
Yeah.
Oh,
here it is. Okay, so this is, I guess it's in Flash, and you can play it. There we go. Oh, look, it's even, okay, the Hitchhiker. Okay, you wake up, the room is spinning. Okay, well, let's play a little bit of this. We wasted enough time.
Oh, no. Squirrel.
You wake up, the room is spinning very gently around your head, or at least it would be if you could see, which you can't. It is pitch black. What do you want to do, Gina? Turn on light. How about that?
Yeah, turn on light. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Good day. Good start to the day. Pity it's going to be the worst one of your life. The light is now on. You're in the bedroom, in the bed. The bedroom is a mess. It is a small bedroom with a faded carpet and old wallpaper. There's a wash basin, a chair with tatty dressing gown slung over it. Let's put on the gown. 42, somebody just whispered to me. You're not holding. Oh, take gown. You can't reach it.
Get out of bed.
Get out of bed. Very difficult, but you manage it. The room is still spinning. It dips and sways a little bit. Take gown. Got the gown. Luckily, this is large enough for you to get a hold of. You notice something in the pocket. Examine pocket. Okay. Open pocket. You get the idea here. What I like is it's a little bit more graphic. It's hard to open or close the pocket. Okay, put on gown. Okay, you're now wearing your gown. Open pocket. Opening your gown, the thing reveals a thing your aunt gave you, which you don't know what it is, a buffered analgesic and pocket fluff. Take analgesic. You swallow the tablet. After a few seconds, the room begins to calm down and behave in an orderly manner. Your terrible headache goes. And from there, the end of the world. You continue on. This is good. This is fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is fun.
It all came rushing back to me 30 years ago. See, the Hitchhiker's Guide is actually older than the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
New York bans Tesla direct sales. You can't buy a Tesla Texas either.
Did I say New York? New Jersey.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, my corrupt, ridiculous state. The governor hates drivers. He closes bridge tolls, and he does this. We don't like car salesmen, people.
You know what the deal is? And it's the auto dealers associations that raised a lot of money for state legislators.
This is pure corruption.
So in Arizona and Texas and New Jersey, corruption. You cannot go to Tesla.com and buy a Tesla.
The Short Hills Mall, the Ritzy Mall in northern New Jersey, has a Tesla showroom and two Teslas in it and all kinds of neat stuff. And you can buy Tesla shirts and all that. And I can stand there and dream. And it's closed. They're closing it. Gone. It's ridiculous. The whole system of franchised car dealers is ridiculously inefficient.
Nobody wants to buy cars that way.
No one. We hate it. Yeah. We hate it.
On the Tesla blog, they write, unfortunately, Monday we received news that Governor Christie's administration had gone back on its word.
Corrupt Christie. Another example of corrupt Christie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It embarrasses me for my state. Backward, corrupt, anti-consumer, the FU governor.
Nice.
And next he's going to say, and Teslas can't go over the George Washington Bridge.
And this is the man who wants to be president.
It's just not safe. Do you have a link to that eBay sale of the HTC One?
Yes.
Chat room, give it to me.
At the Verge. It's right below the Tesla story.
Okay. Because I want to see what that thing looks like. Hit return or so. Oh, there it is. Is that it? No.
Yeah, that's the Engadget piece, yeah. And that's the direct eBay link is right below
let's
it.
Let's see here. Because you have an HTC One. So this is the new one.
The all new one.
The all new one or the one
the
two.
Second one.
Yeah, I see
one.
It right there from Droid Life. And here's the oh, look, there's a lot of them.
Well, yeah, so it got that buy it now. If you scroll down, you'll see the original listing. It got purchased. Yeah,
it is the one we have been waiting for.
Only got five bids. Now, I think it could very well be bogus. It's not like eBay's always perfect, is it? It does.
Right, right. It was the $499 was the buy it now price.
I would have done that.
Yeah, just to see.
Yeah. Oh, well, didn't
it
see
looks
it soon
pretty
enough.
Cool. I love the one, and the new one looks pretty cool. The dual cameras also has my interest at this point.
Dual cameras on the back?
Yes. Yeah, dual cameras on the back.
Hmm. Why?
Kind of like the Lytro camera, so that you can do depth of field editing and choosing, better editing. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good deal if that's real.
Purportedly, yeah, allegedly.
Could be just the box. You don't actually see the phone anywhere.
Right.
I'm always nervous about that kind of stuff.
There was the dual cameras, though. There was a Telestra brochure was leaked, and it's pretty for sure.
Yeah, but again, in that listing, they only showed a box.
Right.
So you might have just bought a very expensive box.
Expensive box, yes.
Right.
Or a picture of a box.
Or a picture of a box. it's like those people who thought they bought iPads. Instead, they got boxes with apples inside. Actual apples. These things happen. All right,
Seller has pretty good feedback. Yeah.
Well, all right, is that how you do that on eBay? You check the seller?
Yeah.
See the feedback? Is it 100%?
Yeah, 100% positive.
Well, that's pretty good. How many?
Yeah, how many?
55.
That's enough. That's enough. 55, 100% positive. I think you can assume this person knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, this is probably...
But where'd they get it?
Where to get it and,
Yeah.
That they're willing to sell it and not get...
32 gigabyte. So $500 for the 32 gigabyte brand new one from Verizon Wireless. And you'd probably be able to get it for $2 or $250 subsidized. eBay money. I don't know. That's interesting. I don't know how he got that. A brand new, unused, unopened, undamaged item in its original packaging. We're going to take a break. Come back with our tool, our tip, and our number of the week. But first, a word from Personal Capital. I got a tip for you. If you are not yet planning for your old age, you better get going. I don't care if you're 21 years old. It's really important to start taking a look at what you've got, conserving capital, building your investments. Problem is, it's tough. It's tough. You've got lots of stuff to keep track of. Your stocks, maybe you have a 401k at work, your bank accounts, your credit cards, your loans, your mortgage. And they're all on different sites, different usernames and passwords. And then, of course, and this is unfortunate, but a lot of times you're paying too much to get investment advice. So this is the next generation, the modern financial advisor. It's called Personal Capital. Within minutes, you'll have all your accounts in one place in a beautiful dashboard, real time, so you can see exactly where you are, how you stand. You can see if you're overpaying in fees and how to reduce those fees. They also give you advice that's tailored to your situation so that you can optimize your investments so that you can retire. Lots of people will never be able to retire. Don't expect the Social Security system to survive until you're 50 or 60 years old. Set it up right now, personalcapital.com/twig. Takes just a minute to sign up, and it's absolutely free. Absolutely free. Personal Capital is a smart way to grow your money. personalcapital.com/twig. If you don't see the greetings, Twit listeners, then you've gone to the wrong place. personalcapital.com/twig. I guess, according to Android Police, receiving... Google Maps version 7.7 for Android. I have to check and see if it's if it's come out, adds public upcoming events to place cards.
Oh, in Maps. Interesting.
Yeah. So you'll have a place card and it'll have upcoming events. So if you look at a venue, I guess it'll show you what's
Yeah, you could add the TWIT schedule to TWIT's page.
Really?
In Maps.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Right? Couldn't you?
I guess. Upcoming events? If we were smart enough to put it there, we'll have to work on that. Gina, what is your tip of the week?
Tip of the week is for Android users who have KitKat who may have been experiencing some battery drain lately, losing battery. There's apparently a bug that Google's aware of where some apps that get a hold of your camera, apps like Skype, will run this daemon in the background and it will kill your battery. There's a long bug report on it in the Android open source project, and one of the Android open source contributors said Skype triggers this bug. So if you're seeing sudden and bad battery drain on your KitKat Android phone, uninstall Skype until the fix is on its way out. The fix is on its way out. Google's aware of it and they're working on it now. And I actually haven't seen this, but Jason last night on Jason Howell on All About Android said that he was having that problem.
Huh.
So, yeah, just something to keep in mind. And kind of funny to see someone in Android saying, hey, uninstall Skype. It's not just Skype. It's any app that accesses your camera that in a certain way that actually, you know, runs the camera, this camera process in the background, even when you're not running the app, which Skype apparently does.
Which makes me feel like it's a Google bug.
It does feel like an Android bug, right? Yeah. It does feel like Android shouldn't let this happen. And it is, right? Google said that they know about this and they're issuing a fix. So it's a process called MMQ camera daemon. And that's what it is. So you can restart, you can kill that process, or you can try uninstalling Skype if that's an option for you.
Okay.
Save some battery.
Good deal. Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
My number is 3.
3?
That's how many seasons Big Bang Theory just got renewed for.
What? You can't renew a show for 3 seasons?
They did. I'm hoping there's no shark on the horizon.
I don't watch that show. I find it insulting.
I love that show.
I do too. I feel guilty about it.
You should feel guilty.
I feel better about it now that there are actually like smart women on it. When it was in the beginning and it was just Penny being an airhead, that used to bug me. But now that there's Amy and Bernadette, I feel good about it.
Yeah, great.
I know I'm going to lose my geek card, but I just feel like it's insulting to geeks.
I think a lot of geeks feel the same way. Yeah. I've gotten some derisive stares when I mentioned I like Big Bang.
You want to get some sense of how bad that show is.
Uh-oh. We're going to have a Jeff Leo fight here.
You love this show, Jeff? I can't believe they've renewed it for 3 more seasons.
Yeah.
It's blockbuster. I mean, it's been so successful.
There are YouTube videos of Big Bang Theory without the laugh track. Because the laugh track is makes you think this is funny.
But when you
watch it without a laugh track, you realize there are no actual jokes in the show.
It is in front of a live audience, though. They do film in front of a live audience.
Okay, well, let's just see what it sounds like when there are no laughs.
Nothing makes beer taste better than cool, clear Rocky Mountain spring water. Where are the Rocky Mountains, anyway?
Philadelphia.
Really? I thought there
were... There are no jokes!
Think about it, Raj. Where did the movie Rocky take place?
There are beloved, lovable characters. Geeks are lovable.
Okay, now I get it.
So this is really painful. Wow.
From now on, we're just going to hide out in here to avoid the shamey.
I'm very comfortable here. Penny, dear, why don't you shoot another silver bullet my way?
Get one yourself.
Ooh, somebody's been taking bitchy pills.
Okay, I've had enough. Have you?
Yeah.
Terrible show. Yeah. They should not renew it for even one more season.
Oh, jeez. What is the chat room saying now?
Try playing Game of Thrones without the laugh track. Then see how you feel. All right. No, I don't know why. That show does not grab me. And I do feel like it's a little insulting to women. Maybe it's better now, but...
Better now. It's a sitcom. It is dumbed down.
Well, I hate all sitcoms, right?
That's fair. I'll accept that.
I mean, although there are a few good ones like episodes on Showtime. Very funny. Very good. Very talented. Boy, people hate me now. They say, you are full of it, Leo. You are so wrong.
I mean, yeah. 30 Rock was great. I mean, you know, there are some great.
Oh, they're at the door with their pitchforks and their torches.
An army of nerds.
But see, if you're a geek, you shouldn't like it because it's so insulting to geeks.
That's so precious. That's just so.
I do want to watch. There's going to be on HBO a new show done by Mike Judge, who did Beavis and Butthead and Office Space, about Silicon Valley. And what I've seen so far, it looks pretty good.
The Amazon Silicon Valley show went nowhere, right?
What was it called? I can't remember the name of that. I thought that was supposed to be good, but. Just so now you can get it all out of your system, I really hated The New Cosmos.
Oh, I didn't see it. Shouldn't see it.
That was just the intro. I should wait and see another one.
Well, now that I know Leo's taste, maybe I should run to watch it.
It was all special effect. It was like, it felt like the Disney version of like a Disney ride version of the universe.
Like it was any different from billions of years.
I wasn't of the right age to be influenced by Carl Sagan's Cosmos. But this, I was underwhelmed by it. Now I'll watch the next episode. Maybe this was just because it was the intro. I was very insulted that, I don't want to go on. I'm sorry.
TV insults you all the time. You know, it's like you're sitting there at home watching your TV just saying, how dare you, television?
I do. I talk to the TV a lot. I talk back to the TV a lot. I'm really angry about True Detective, which started out really great and let us all down, I thought, significantly. But I won't. Enough TV reviews. Do you have any other numbers to take this bad taste out of our mouth?
Okay, give me another number. Gee, it's the first time in all the entire show my number has been rejected.
I didn't reject it.
I was going to say.
No, it's a good number. Have you ever heard of a TV show being renewed for 3 seasons? That's unheard of.
I will give you this instead.
All right.
Tony Hale, who is the brilliant CEO of Chartbeat. Chartbeat tracks pages and what we do.
I love this thing.
Pixel by pixel.
Yeah.
This is great. Tony says, you know, and I've been worried that native advertising, right? Native advertising is the stuff that tries to fool you into thinking this is really content, but it's just a goddamn long, texty, boring advertisement.
I agree.
And I've been worried people are fooled by this, but I should have more faith in humanity.
People are smart.
Because Chartbeat has found that when people go to a page with normal content, 71% scroll. Okay. That is, they're committed and they look for more. People who go to native ad content, only 24% scroll.
That means they don't continue to read because they know it's bogus.
They know this is crap.
Yeah. Right?
And I think that's important. And then he had another number in here. A stunning 55% of people spent fewer than 15 seconds actively on a page. They've looked at 2 billion visits. So more than half the time, we glance off the page like an asteroid off Mars in 15 seconds. Boom, gone. Which is to say, most of the time we go to something that's irrelevant to us and crap. Now, how do we get to that crap? Often we get to it from links. And the other thing that Chartbeat has said is that most people, we've talked about this on the show before, most people share or like before they read.
And this, Yeah. This was really an interesting graph. Do we read the articles we share? So there's 4 quadrants. Bottom half is low social activity. In other words, lots of sharing, no sharing. The top is lots of sharing. The left half is low read time. High read time is in the right half. So if you look at the high read time, high sharing, there's nothing. Then if you spend time reading something, you just don't share it. And where's there the most sharing?
Things we don't read.
The least read time. And we talked about this on iPad today on Monday. It either indicates that people share to show how smart they are, I think people share headlines. They're not sharing the article.
That's exactly it. And I think the motive to share is social capital, is look how smart I am. I'm the first one who shared this.
Yeah.
And we just bug people with it.
Right.
And so I wrote a blog post about what the proper metrics are then. So Tony tears down some metrics, but I think we have to look at other metrics. And it varies, right? At circa, The main metric they use is follow. If you follow a story, it says, please bug me when something happens here. That's a good metric. At Medium, they track what they call TTR, total time reading. And they're even going to start, they're looking to around text. I was with one of the executives there just yesterday, and they're looking around text to basically charge on time, like broadcast, which is what Tony Hale's also backed up in some other research. And so the idea that you could spend on time. Now, attention is a good, and time spent is a good metric for things that are like that, but I think it's also a bad metric for things like, you know, just tell me the fact and get me out of here. Right. Well, I met with Jerry Yang many years ago in a conference room meeting, and he said, our job at Yahoo is to get you in and out of here as quickly as possible. Well, that didn't last long, did it? Because they went with the old media model of trying to shove as many eyeballs in front of your or ads in front of your eyeballs as they could. So they tried to drag you down and give you friction and hold you there. But that's not the best metric if you just want to get a fact. You want to get in and out. So efficiency is an important metric. So anyway, I wanted to point you to Tony Hale's very good piece, and this has evidently now erased the memory of three more years of Big Bang Theory from you.
The more, until you brought that up again.
The most clicked on but least deeply engaged with articles had generic topics. In August, the worst performers included top, best, biggest, fictional. In January, the worst performers, hairstyles, positions, nude, and for some reason, the word Virginia. Lots of clicks, not so much engagement. I think that's true. I think we know that here. For a long time, I felt bad that we weren't getting as many shares as I thought we should on social media. And partly that's because we're long-form video shows. Not easy to share us. But I think people get engaged with our content, so I'm not going to worry so much about whether we're getting shared or not. Although I bet you there's a few people tweeting that I'm an idiot for not liking Big Bang Theory right now. All right, you will like this, though. Two Android apps. This is a Chromecast app. Did you ever play Cards Against Humanity? Somebody in the chat room told me about this. I just installed it. Casts Against Civility. It's a Chromecast app that lets you and one or two or three other people play this amazingly horrid but fun card game. It's not the same company or same people who do Cards Against Humanity. It's a party game for horrible people. The object of the game is to respond to a question or statement that has a certain word or phrase censored by playing one of the 10 cards in your hands. Look, it's going to get a lot of groans and titters from your audience, from your playmates in this, but you play it on a big screen. I think this is a great way to do it, a party game. And it's free. Casts Against Humanity. And then the other one is you're never going to stop playing this. So I got to warn you. It came out first for iOS, but Quiz Up is now available on Android. Have you ever played this game? This is a trivia quiz game that has an infinite, huge number of topics. In fact, I'll go to the topics page and you'll see. So there's something you can be an expert in almost any category. Not just geography, but drill down in Africa, African countries, Asia, Asian countries, Australia, Canada, cities of the world, European countries, landmarks, name the flag, name the country, name the landmark. And that's just geography. I mean, there's tons of topics. You want to play one? Let's see. I probably have some challenges. People are challenging me a lot on this one. Which one do you want to play? Dog breeds? Dr. Mom wants to play dog breeds. Let's see how good you are at dog breeds. So it'll play in real time. It'll automatically pick an opponent somewhere in the world. There's always somebody to play against. Or you can asynchronously play against your friends. So Dr. Mom's already played this and gotten her score. Now I'm going to play it at the same time. It's got very dramatic music. What is the breed which is among the most common of pet breeds known as intelligent? Well, that's a Doberman, is it? Yes, all right. So you see, you can test your knowledge of dog breeds. It's really a lot of fun to play. You also get dinged for taking too long. The preferred breed for search and rescue has to be... This is too easy. This is not a good test of this game. It can get pretty tough. If I play the... I just went out of it. If I play the... and by the way, here's a new Quiz Up challenge. You guys aren't saying anything. Are you just really... There, Karsten, who is a resident of...
I'm not a game guy.
I like trivia. Don't you like trivia?
No.
I've started a Big Bang Theory quiz.
You know what? There is... You want to play the Big Bang Theory quiz? You want to?
I'm seriously...
You want to play it? All right, let's see. I want to see if you guys really watch that show. Okay? We'll go to Topics Television. You claim to watch that show. TV. All the TV shows. Oh, no, I didn't want to do that. Oh, crud. All the Big Bang Theory. Now, I'm just going to play somebody randomly, all right? I could challenge people I know, but I'm just going to play somebody randomly. I'm playing Roberto. He's playing from the U.S. He's pretty good at this. He's won 21 times. I don't think I have a shot at this. Big Bang Theory, round one. Get ready. What did Penny try to pay her electric bill with? Leonard.
Starbucks gift card?
That's what I would have guessed. Good. Was that a guess or did you know? Roberto got it right away.
It's pretty predictable.
What is Sheldon's IQ?
Oh, 194.
Yeah, it could be.
Not 187.
Oh!
And then if you... Sheldon attempts to train Penny using what kind of food? Cake, chocolate, fruit, or crisps?
Chocolate.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Round four. There are only seven questions. Which episode does Stephanie Barnett make her debut appearance? Is it The Dumpling Paradox, The Lizard Spock Expansion, The Euclid Alternative, or The Friendship Algorithm? No, it's The Lizard Spock Expansion. Roberto's gotten everyone right so far. Why did Amy Farrah Fowler leave the Scouts? She didn't like the uniform? No, they discovered she was a girl.
These are hard.
In which episode is Leonard proposed to Penny? The cushion saturation, the launch acceleration, the Gothowitz deviation? I don't even like the names of this show. Twice, double bonus. What is the name of the agent sent to interview Leonard, Sheldon, and Raj as part of a background check on Howard? I think it's Patty Pearson, but it was actually Angela Page. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations to Roberto.
Eliza Dushku, by the way.
Oh, really? Well, see, I love her. Yes. All right, so I lose.
I failed you, Leo. That was terrible. I did terrible.
You don't even watch that show, do you?
I do. That's a fun game. I curse you for making me install
it's,
it.
It's really, if you like trivia, night. It's really great.
Yeah.
Really, really. You talked about it last night?
We talked about it last night, and I installed it last night while we were talking about on All About Android, and I hadn't actually launched it until now, and now I can see that I've lost my night.
It's really fun. And then people start to beat you by one point, and then you get upset, and it's good. It's really good. but I want to play this Cast Against Civility. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I wonder if they're – yeah. I mean, I don't think they use the same questions as Cards Against Humanity, but –
kind of a neat use case for the cast.
Yeah.
Thing, right?
A party game.
Yeah.
Party game. Quiz up, Casts Against Civility. A couple of picks there. Thank you very much, Jeff Jarvis. Did you see the last episode of True Detective yet?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Yeah, I'm a little disappointed.
Surprise, hard. I'm not a fan of McConaughey.
Oh, I am. Oscars. I don't like him as a human.
Yeah, love him as an actor. He's a human.
He's the most awesomest actor ever.
Yeah,
and Woody Harrelson was great
too. Yeah, I think, but I'm not a big one.
Yeah,
I'm not big.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm kind of with you. What's the show you're most excited about these days?
Big Bang Theory, of course.
Shut up. You know you're lying. I know you're lying.
Nothing matters until the new season of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I love that show. That's a good one. As long as I'm giving you games that are going to kill your rest of your life, Threes is also now available on the Android app store.
Oh, no.
Have you ever played that?
Mm-mm. Threes?
I don't like games.
Ah, you will like this one. One of the best games ever, but you got to get the right one. And I see, you know, because Threes is so popular on iOS, I see a lot of fake Threes. That's not it. It's got an 8 for the icon. That's definitely wrong. but somebody said the real one is available, so I have to look and see if I can find it. Huh. Boy, look at all the fake ones. It's like the Flappy Bird clones.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I'm sorry if I've offended you. I heartily sorry. Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. She probably doesn't get much time to blog these days.
No, not blogging too much, but just about to launch sign-ups to our waiting list members on ThinkUp. So thinkup.com.
Oh, yeah.
This week. Yeah. Pop your email in there and you'll be one of the first to know And we will be live to the public very soon, probably next week.
For all the popular kids.
I'm going to just show you real quickly because you really can't get a sense of what it can do until you see somebody's think up. I'll just show you my think up. So it shows you, you know, popular retweets. Oh, people like the petition to end daylight saving time.
Yeah, nice job on that.
Highly retweeted. 187 retweets, 34 replies. These are the people who followed me, the lists I'm on, key stats for my tweets. My favorite is how many times I said I, me. and what do you call that one? Talk about yourself much or something?
Yeah, enough about me.
Enough about me, yeah. I get that one a lot.
We've got quite a few new insights rolling out soon in the next couple weeks too. So I'm pretty excited. You have a good insight stream, Leo. You've got a very engaged audience.
I love it. It's so much. It makes Twitter better. Lots more fun.
Thank you.
I love best when it says how many people I added to somebody else's tweet.
Oh yeah, because you retweeted it, half a million more people saw it, and that's such a nice feeling. Yeah. I really did something good for somebody today. That's Jeff Jarvis. He is the professor of journalism at the City University of New York. Just a jolly fellow. He also, of course, blogs at buzzmachine.com, and his latest book is Public Parts, available everywhere. Are you mad at me?
I like Big Bang Theory.
Are you mad at me for saying anything about that?
I'm easygoing. I have a sense of humor.
Are you angry? Did I hurt your feelings?
I'm just amazed.
I'm not into sitcom. I haven't watched a sitcom in years. I can't. I can't watch network television.
You waste your life
anymore.
With games. I waste my life with sitcoms. That's where we are.
Oh no, I watch a lot of TV. In fact, Lisa observed that last night. You watch way too much TV. I like TV. But I tend to watch the stuff, the cable dramas. I'm a big fan of cable dramas. Thank you, lady. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Note, we are now on summertime in the United States, a little earlier than a lot of the rest of you. 1 p.m. our time.
Which is really pissing off Leo.
Yeah, I don't want it anymore. Shouldn't we kill daylight saving time? Just kill it. I think we should stay at it. Let's not change ever again. Let's just stay right here where we are.
It would make life with a baby a lot easier. Wouldn't it?
Yeah. You know, there's 17% more fatalities the Monday after daylight saving time begins.
Because everyone's exhausted.
Yeah, because you're 1 hour off and you're groggy. And these are fatal traffic accidents in the U.S. 17% more on that Monday.
I was talking to a doctor the other day who got more people coming in feeling bad and depressed because of daylight saving time.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Yeah. What is the advantage?
But all they have to do on daylight saving time day is just watch a rerun of Big Bang Theory.
They'll cheer you right up. You'll feel so much better. Who's your favorite characters? Is Sheldon? Everybody loves Sheldon.
Everybody loves Sheldon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jim Parsons is amazing. Amy Farrah Fowler.
It's pretty amazing. And she did a great interview, long, great interview on Howard Stern. She was just wonderful.
Really?
Oh, really? Oh, I
was Blossom.
Blossom, yeah.
She was Blossom?
She was Blossom.
And I didn't like that show either.
She's a PhD. She's an honest to God PhD.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was.
What's her doctorate in?
I think like molecular biology or something like that.
And how does she justify paying such a nitwit on the show?
She's not a nitwit on the show. She's smart on the show.
Oh, Penny's not the neighbor.
Right. No. Amy Farrah Fowler is Sheldon.
Penny was not Blossom. Believe me, Leo.
See, I don't.
You really.
I don't know.
You are clearly a communist. The show of the Americans, it's about Leo.
Actually, I like the Americans okay. For network television, it's not bad.
How about Orphan Black? Have we talked about that?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Like that a lot. It's coming back.
Oh, good.
April.
Yeah.
Good. It's good. All right.
She's an actual neuroscientist. Yes.
No, see, I thought she was the neighbor, but she's not the neighbor.
No. The neighbor is, as far as I know, just an actress.
she definitely doesn't have a PhD. Yeah. She probably doesn't have a bachelor's. Are we out of it? Out of here yet? Oh, I haven't said goodbye.
I think you have to.
I have not finished the show. I'm still digging a deeper hole for myself.
You are, Leo. You're getting dangerously close to equating beauty with dumbness here.
No, not at all. I don't know what Penny looks like. I'm not saying that. I just, the neighbor is ditzy. Is she not? She's intentionally. It's very sexist. They play her as some bimbo.
Particularly in the beginning, they totally cast her.
Well,
I
have never seen it. I've only seen the earlier episodes.
As the show went on, she became more geeky.
They were making fun of geeks having the crush on her.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Okay. We this show is on at 2000 UTC until forever. But the thing is, never mind. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you next time on Twit.